flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All we can go by with New England is, I think the crafts have been pretty clear that they have not been planning a change. They don't want to make a change. They're not looking to make a change. So, you know, it's moot with Mike Vrabel and New England right now, unless it's not. But to me, New England would have to fall apart down the stretch, have more poor showings like the one it did on Sunday, and there would have to be a change in the thinking of ownership to even introduce that to being a factor. Do I think that if the job were open, that he would? It's certainly logical to assume that. I mean, he's played there. He knows the organization, knows the city. Yeah, I could totally see that, but it's a moot point right now.
I've heard that.
Nick just said in my ear, it's a great take. Does anybody know anything when it comes to what the Patriots are doing? Does anybody have any clue?
There's nothing to see here, unless there's a lot to see here. Would he take the job? I don't know. Is the job available? Maybe. Maybe not.
Unless it isn't.
Could be.
You know, it's moot with Mike Vrabel and New England right now.
Unless?
Unless it's not.
Unless it's not. Thank you, Schefter. Well, that clears it up.
That's why we're asking.
Yeah.
That was the question.
Adam Schefter yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. He makes his weekly appearance
here. That's pretty wild.
Check that out on the Odyssey app.
But he's like, oh, if it's bad the next 3 weeks.
Thank you.
It's like, can't we kind of predict that it will be bad?
So this is the relevant piece of that clip to me. The rest of it's very funny.
It's more likely than not that it's going to be bad.
If it goes bad, they're 2 touchdown underdogs this week. It's probably going to go bad.
They're 2 games with the best team in football, and then one with the Chargers with another playoff team.
So, okay. Yeah, and they're going to have to fight for their playoff spot, right, which is bad news for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's probably going to go bad. And Schefter is saying, well, if it goes badly,
moot.
Then I think, yeah, it makes sense that Vrabel would be a candidate there. He knows the crafts and this and that.
Wow. Well,
that, to me, is the relevant piece. And it's the second week in a row, or the second time in the last 3 weeks, Schefter's not coming on and going, well, yeah, Mayo's back. I mean, he deserves a second
year.
That's
true. You remember how adamant he was about the Jimmy Garoppolo trade?
Yeah, now look, he was wrong about that.
Well, he wasn't. He didn't get traded for 4 first-round picks.
Well,
he went for a second.
It's a good point.
Unless it's not.
But the idea that, like, Schefter is not coming out and saying, no, there's no way they're going to move on from him. He deserves a second year.
Yeah, no, it's a possibility. I never thought it was going to be a possibility. And just the way the season has played out, I think that you have to at least open the door to it.
I want to get into the Vrabel piece coming up.
Right.
Bedard is reporting that Vrabel would be interested in... Curran said Vrabel would have interest in the job.
Oh.
Bedard was asked about that on his podcast by our buddy Nick Cattles.
Okay.
And he said, well, yeah, definitely he would have interest, and he'd be interested in bringing Josh McDaniels with him.
I think a lot of fans would want that.
Do you want that?
No, I told you. I want Ben Johnson.
Okay,
I don't
think
that's likely.
Let me rephrase. Okay. So Ben Johnson does feel like a, no offense to your plan yesterday. It does feel like a bit of a pipe dream.
All right, well, dream big.
Okay, fine. Vrabel, where would Vrabel be on your coaching list? Is Vrabel next for you after Ben Johnson?
No.
Okay, me either.
Liam Cohen is a good one. I'm not even anti, like, Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You do like Kingsbury.
Give me offense, offense, offense.
Let's say it is Vrabel. I don't want Josh McDaniels.
I'd rather have Arthur Smith.
Great one.
Who's worked with Vrabel. Now, I don't know if that's a lateral move for Smith. I don't know if he would take that, but I would rather that.
I'd rather have Arthur Smith. I'd definitely rather have Daboll. I don't want Josh McDaniels back.
Daboll I would 100% because of his work with Josh Allen. I would take Brian Daboll in a second. Was that that was Wiggy's plan, right? Brian Daboll is the offensive coordinator. I'm in on that. No, I'm good with Josh McDaniels. How many times do you need to have Josh McDaniels back?
Yeah, and
that'd be a record, wouldn't it?
Again, how many places he burned bridges where, like, the players loathe him?
Oh, he is hated by the Raiders and the Broncos
and the Colts.
In the Colts, right?
He backed out of that one.
Yeah, and that, I held that against them big time. I think that is really embarrassing. So
I'm not trying to go back with that. Oh, you got a lot out of Mac Jones as a rookie.
I mean, I think because Mac Jones is so bad and they won games, like, he deserves some credit for that.
But he got an okay season out of a below-average quarterback.
No, when he was the offensive coordinator.
Like, Kevin O'Connell's gotten a billion times more out of Sam Darnold.
No.
Then he got out of Mac Jones.
He ran the Broncos and Raiders into the ground, like sub-earth. And then he also, when he was the 1 year he was with the Rams, he was the offensive coordinator. They had the worst offense in football, one of the worst offenses in the history of this great sport of ours. So I don't want McDaniels.
Me either.
Now, obviously, there's a big difference between OC and head coach. Like, head coach is a non-starter. Offensive coordinator, I'm still a no.
If that's Vrabel's plan, I'm out on Vrabel.
Then,
I'm already
the next guy.
He's already not at the top of my list, but if that's Vrabel's plan, my number one offensive coordinator is Josh McDaniels, out.
Yeah.
Dead on arrival. Yes. Not interested, Vrabel. 6-1-7. Now, it's an improvement over Mayo. Like, no one's arguing that.
Yeah.
My choice is Vrabel and McDaniels, or run it back with Mayo and AVP? Well, not even a contest.
Well, what
but
if it's...
But if we're firing Mayo, I think you can do better than Vrabel is what I'm saying.
All right, what about this one?
Especially with McDaniels.
Let me throw this at you, see if this one sticks. If Mayo is still the head coach, I know not your call or my call, but let's just say he is. Mm-hmm. You give an AVP a second year, or would you rather Josh McDaniels than AVP? Mayo's still the head coach, so we don't. Neither one of us like that, but that could very well be what the Crafts do. Do they feel like bringing in McDaniels, who I do think more Patriots fans than not like, because they only know him as offensive coordinator.
Patriots fans like,
yeah.
I might stay Van Pelt.
Okay.
By the way, I'm looking now. Nick just alerted me to this. Cadlick has a couple of tweets here about Alex Van Pelt, who's speaking now.
Okay.
I'm gonna,
friend of the show,
I don't know which, one you're talking about. He alerted me to Cadlick's timeline. Alex Van Pelt on Jerod Mayo's "You said it, I didn't" comments after the Patriots lost.
Juicy.
I have Jerod's back at all costs. He used to refer to him as coach. Remember that? He was referring to him last week as coach. Now he's Jerod. Yeah. Maybe there's a change.
I like
there.
At all costs, which he knows means also his job.
That's a good point.
Like, at all costs. Meaning, like, I'm apparently going to be the scapegoat here.
At all costs. We have a great relationship. Doubtful. I take no offense to that. It was taken out of context, as he said. It was?
No, it was not.
Yeah, I don't think
a lot
that
of
was
things
taken
out of context down there.
Follow up.
They need to put
Marcus Jones thing out of context.
Mayo press conferences in context.
Yeah.
Is maybe what
it was taken out of context. What context are we supposed to put that in? It was taken out of context. You said it, I didn't.
No, he ripped you for not calling any Drake May like runs.
Please. Alex Van Pelt on the viral clips of Patriots ownership being upset about the offensive play calling. There was nobody more pissed off than I was, I can promise you that.
I don't know. Ask Jonathan again. I think Jonathan maybe more so than you.
Didn't we just ask him on Friday about the play calling and is it too conservative? And he's like, no, I'd call him
again.
That's
on coach.
Yeah. Like, what? What? You just said you were happy with the play calling.
Your bosses, all of your bosses.
They all hate what
Mayo,
you do.
Mayo, Kraft, and Kraft.
They're disgusted at what you do. They hate what you do.
Even but though in no reality, more, you're doing a better job than
no
they
one's
all
more
are,
pissed but. Off than you are. And you told us on Friday you actually like the play calls.
Look,
they just didn't
with,
work.
It starts with me, but actually ends with coach.
One more.
I was doing whatever coach says.
One more, and tell me if I'm missing anything, Nick. Because again, Van Pelt is talking as we speak. Are you avoiding using Drake May on quarterback sneaks?
Oh my god,
he says
it's the one.
It's about keeping him out of harm's way and getting him through these last three games healthy.
So he is.
But is that
kind of like a Drake May anytime touchdown prop? Maybe I don't now. I feel like they're going to do it because there's so much talk about him not running that aren't they going to run him a little bit more?
But if you, but he didn't score on a designed run last. He ran it in last week. It wasn't a designed run.
But part of my thinking was there's been so much talk about him not running or
that they're going to do it to prove a point. Yes. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So I thought they were going to go the other way. Be like, oh yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if AVP says they're avoiding using Drake May on sneaks.
Yeah, yeah.
Then but, I don't think they're having designed runs for him.
Either. Okay, but again, he can scramble.
He can. No, I mean, I think I might still bet that just because he can scoot and they, you know, the Bills might have everything else covered. But yeah, I mean, he's on the hot seat too, and maybe not for all the right reasons, but he's definitely on the hot seat.
Oh, for sure. I want to hear
piping hot.
I want to hear that, and we don't need it now. I'm not saying pull it now, Nick, but we'll listen to it later on in the show. I want to hear that. What was he asked about? Is it up to him? Is that like an organ? I want to hear how that was phrased, like because my guess is that's an organizational decision. It's not up to Van Pelt to be like, I'm protecting Drake May.
Hey, you said it, not me. That makes it sound like Mayo has given the green light. Mayo also said on the Greg Hill show.
Well, that's what Mayo makes it sound like, but I don't believe that. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, the way Van Pelt answered it in the tweet from Cadlick that we're reading, that makes it sound like he's kind of sticking his neck out to save Drake May. And that's not what I think it is, but I'd be curious to hear that full exchange.
Well, they asked him Monday about the quarterback sneaks and like the concussion and all that stuff, and he basically gave it the green light. He's like, no, he can do it. So that kind of went back on Van Pelt, I feel like.
Drake May was basically asking to. He's like, I'm a big dude. I was good at it in college.
He was Hoss of the Week.
Do you guys think that's Van Pelt's call to be like, we're not running him? Like, everybody else in the organization is like, do it. And he's like, no, we're going to save him. I don't think it's that at all.
No. Although, I don't even think Van Pelt wanted to play him from jump street.
Oh, good point.
Like,
fair point.
Percent, but.
So, again, he was asked about the you said it, I didn't comments. He's got Gerard's back. He's not coach anymore. He's Gerard. I find something noteworthy there.
No, that's something.
But, yeah, it was taken out of context. He's the most pissed off about the play calling, not Robert and Jonathan, despite what you might have seen.
Yeah, I think it might be Jonathan.
And he's keeping Drake May out of harm's way on these sneaks. That's the newsiest stuff from Van Pelt as he speaks.
Like, he's saying basically keep him healthy is the biggest goal for the final 3 weeks. Like, that's kind of what he said, right? Like, the most important thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's a given with every player all the time. Nobody wants any player to ever get hurt.
Right.
So is the goal the final 3 weeks, like, just get through healthy? Or is it, I don't know, like, see some different coverages?
Well,
see, like, how do you react? Like, right. Like,
it should be
the cold game stuff, all that stuff.
Good point.
It's way more than, like, just getting healthy.
And if the goal is keeping him healthy,
that means the season's over. Then, like, forget it.
Did Arcan say this? I want to get to an Arcan take, but somebody texted, does Arcan want to sit May down at the end of the year? Did anybody hear that?
I can't imagine.
Somebody texted, I don't want to take what Arcan said completely out of context, as we did so viciously with the Gerard Mayo comment.
Yeah, true.
But I mean,
I doubt it.
If the main goal is to protect him,
well, then yeah, you sit him.
Then you sit him.
Put him on ice.
Okay,
that's
so,
the easiest way to do it.
I mean, if that really is the main goal, you shouldn't play him. I don't agree with that.
Oh yeah, Twitch chat. Dubs says Arcane does want to sit him. He wants to sit him for three games. That'd be fun.
All right,
Jacoby Brissett this Sunday.
That take, please. I did not hear from Arcan. I did hear his take about Vrabel yesterday.
I would run full speed into a brick wall if I knew that Jacoby Brissett was the starter this Sunday.
Yeah, I already have Grinch tickets. So, look, when it comes to Arcan's take on Vrabel, though, I didn't hear the one on May.
Okay.
I did see some feedback on the text line about
what's his Vrabel take real
his
quick?
His Vrabel take was, and look, this is before we even saw he was attached to McDaniels, which has me running for the hills.
Yep.
But if Vrabel is such a no-brainer head coaching candidate, why is he out of coaching? Like, I know he's an analyst for the Browns or whatever he is. Why didn't he get a job last year?
So, fair.
Because we say the same thing about Bill, and yep. If we're going to be consistent, the league doesn't want Bill. And
they went away.
Maybe we'll see the league wants Vrabel this go around, but
yeah.
I mean, if the league thought so highly of Vrabel, why is he out of a job?
It's fair. I mean, because they went to really young coaches, but Vrabel's way younger than like a Belichick or a Pete Carroll. They got rid of the old coaches. They also seem to be a little bit less of the hard asses. And I feel like Vrabel is in there probably labeled as a hard ass. I also wonder, in all seriousness, if GMs and owners are a little. Remember that one? This might have been a Russini thing, so maybe it's whatever. Didn't Vrabel like intimidate owners and like GMs?
Yeah.
Like legit, like they were like, he's like a big press. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
I find it comical because it's football, but that was one of the stories.
Yeah. These spineless little weasels running their teams are intimidated by him. Yeah, maybe.
I think that's your answer. I think their teams are dumb.
Yeah.
Teams are hiring guys for the wrong reasons.
They're afraid if they debrief Vrabel on a Monday, like they debrief Mayo, who's not exactly a small guy, it'll give him a swirly and jam their heads in the toilet. That's what they're worried about.
I think that now that I remember it, because I was shocked that Vrabel didn't get a job. I was also shocked Belichick didn't get a job. But I think both are the same way. They're like, I feel like less of a man in the room with them. And so I think he probably does get a job this go around. But I was looking at it real quick. There were 8 openings. I think 4 teams went with offensive coaches, 4 went with defense. So it wasn't one of those like, oh, it was all offensive
guys.
He's
a defensive guy, so that doesn't work. I mean, so like Raheem, that wasn't working against
him. So if you're looking at the defensive guys, like Raheem Morris got a job over him. Jerod Mayo obviously got a job over him. Mike McDonald with Seattle, another young guy coming off a good year as a coordinator. And then Dan Quinn. Maybe Dan Quinn's the most surprising. That Washington went Dan Quinn over Vrabel.
Retread coach, which Vrabel would be.
Odd. That is and odd. More successful. I don't know if Dan Quinn got to a Super Bowl, but I mean, Vrabel was in Tennessee for 6 years. He had 4 winning seasons, 3 playoff appearances, and an AFC championship game in there. I think, like, he also had Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota, and Will Levis. Like, I think Vrabel is a good coach.
No, me too.
I just, you know me, I point to the offensive guy, especially when you have Drake May. Give me the offensive guy. But overall, if I'm hiring a defensive coach, I'd hire Vrabel.
And so I also think Vrabel's a good coach. I want to get away from the Patriot way for 20 years. I don't want to run it back. And Vrabel has enough Bill stink on him that I want to stay away from that here.
Got some of that Bill stink.
if you want to bring in someone like Vrabel, or if the Patriots do bring in Vrabel, they fire Mayo. Vrabel's an upgrade, no duh.
Yeah.
But if they're the team to bring in Vrabel and no one else did, are they still not seeing it right? Like, you know what I mean? They're like, oh my God, what a home run hire.
They also brought in Mayo, and they were the only one that thought that.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, but so that was a bad sign.
Yeah, like a year ago, no one wanted Vrabel, and then they're like, oh my God, he's a home run hire. We got to go get him, and then they get him, and it's like, well, maybe the rest of the league doesn't like him all that much. Couple more
maybe
comments.
They don't, but don't you also, the people hiring these coaches, I feel like make more bad decisions than good.
Well, fair.
So yes. Like they might hire a guy for the wrong reason, but just as likely they might not hire someone, right? When maybe they should have. They're like right there in front of their noses.
Couple more comments here from Van Pelt, just as I'm looking at these, because they're coming in off the presses. Van Pelt, maybe he's done speaking by now, I don't know. Van Pelt, no regrets on the 4th-and-1 short yardage call.
No regrets.
I thought you were the most pissed at yourself for the play calling.
But I'll do it again.
No regrets there. He had it schematically accounted for.
Right.
Okay, that's good, I guess.
Well, I guess just you got to tip your cap to the defense.
He was asked about Kayshon Boutte critiquing the play call against man coverage.
Yeah, apparently this came out yesterday. I don't want to jump the quote, but I think Boutte apologized to him.
Boutte did apologize. That?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, that's part of receiver play. It hasn't changed since I played.
Huh.
So, like, mouthy receivers.
Got it.
That's how I'm interpreting that, unless I'm interpreting that wrong.
You play with Eric Molds?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Apparently Eric Molds has a lot of kids around Buffalo. That's what I've heard about Eric Molds.
There's not a lot to do in Buffalo.
Well, tell that to Eric Molds.
Who was that? Travis Henry?
He
was a Bill, right?
Travis Henry, I think, had a lot of kids up there, too.
Half of Buffalo's population is young Eric Molds children and Travis Molds. Henry children.
Yep. Uh-huh.
I like Peerless Price on those teams, I'll tell you that.
Peerless Price could run you some routes down the field, pretty much just straight. That was all he did.
I think you're shortchanging Peerless Price.
I am not. I know a lot about Peerless Price.
Alex Van Pelt also said he has not spoken to the Crafts since the viral clip of them criticizing the play calling.
Ugh.
Now, I'm not surprised he hasn't been like, hey guys, what was up with that? They haven't said anything to him?
Yeah, that sounds like they've already made up their decision. He's
That's
gone.
That's a bad sign.
Don't you
for
think?
Him.
Like, if they talk to him, they're like,
"Hey,
especially
we
know that got out."
We didn't. Well, of course they know it got out.
Obviously they know they got out, but like they talk to me like,
"Hey,
we were running hot, like you know how it happens and whatever." Like,
it wasn't about you. We were frustrated.
But let's ignore him until we fire him at the end of the year. Is how I view it. Yeah, that is a horrible sign.
That is a bad.
Unless he's lying about it, but I don't know why he would.
No, that one I would.
Just be like, yeah, we talked and whatever. Like he talked to Boutte and they kind of, well, for now, cleared it up.
Yep.
But for the Crafts to not even reach out to him, that means they don't care.
Has not spoken to them since the viral clip of them criticizing his play calling.
He gone.
Yeah, that's...
Which is too bad. Like, he's actually
not
been...
good for him.
He's been a lot better than I thought he was going to be this year.
He gone! Yeah.
Let's get to some phone calls here. A lot of you waiting patiently. John is in Rhode Island on our Josh Allen discussion. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Pretty great.
Good. I think, you know, the whole Josh Allen-Mahomes debate... I think if you flipped head coaches, I think Allen would have all the titles, to be 100% honest with you.
So Mahomes is just a product of Andy Reid.
He's a system quarterback?
Yeah. How many, just not to dump on Andy Reid, but how many Super Bowls did Reid have before Mahomes?
Well, it was 0, but I do agree with him, Andy Reid greater than Sean McDermott.
Yeah, I agree with that,
I'll go there.
Yeah, I agree with that,
But he would have all the Super Bowls, and Mahomes would have none?
Yep. That's what the caller said.
It's a take, and that's why sports radio was invented.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in there, you get your take, you fire one off like that, and see what goes. I disagree. I think Mahomes would have won with other quarterbacks.
Me too.
Other coaches.
If you did flip him, though, would Allen have won by now? Maybe.
Yeah,
Allen were the Chiefs quarterback and he started with Tyreek Hill or something like that? Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure.
Sorja in Mansfield always has takes. Go ahead, Sorja.
Sorja.
Hey, Joseph Steve, how are we today?
Pretty great.
I mean, the weather's so beautiful. I mean, 45 degrees is not so bad when it feels like it's 15, right? But really quick here, guys. The thing is that with Mayo, you just don't have the patience like you do in the past, right? Like, pretty soon with Drake May, we know Drake May is the guy, right? In about 3 to 5 years, you're going to have to give him.
Okay, so your phone's breaking up.
Maybe it's the weather that's impacting the phone.
Is it cold out? I thought it was nice out today.
He says
it's 15 degrees.
Like it's a real feel of 15.
How cold is it in Mansfield?
Freezing, I guess.
I guess.
He's in like maybe like a cold spot, like a wind tunnel.
It felt lovely today. I've been out there for like an hour, but a couple hours. I don't know
when people have ever been patient around here. Isn't that one of the charms?
Okay, but also I agree if his take is, and again, his phone broke up, so I don't quite know. But if his take is beyond the weather that there's less room to be patient around here because they've sucked the last 5 years largely.
Agreed.
Then, yeah, I strongly agree.
I agree with
that. Yeah. It's a different atmosphere. PK is in the car. Go ahead, PK.
Hey, what's up, boys? So, as you may remember, I'm emotional.
Yeah, of course.
Good. We all are.
I won Dave Chappelle tickets and really lost my mind with you guys a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's what I like. Yes, PK. Yes.
How was the show?
It was great. It was a little bit different than what I was expecting, but I was emotional through the whole thing.
Right. Great. Good to hear it.
So anyways, I want to talk about Mayo. You know, I've kind of enjoyed watching his demise take place over the course of the year more than I've enjoyed winning and losing. And, you know, he came out of the gate really cocky, and there's nothing worse than somebody like that who just thinks they're better than you. And over the course of the last few months, he's completely crumbled. And I drive around all day listening to you guys. It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, so I bet there's a lot of people who have worked with Mayo over the years who probably are enjoying this. I'm not just talking about Bill. I'm talking about, you know, the Bill O'Briens of the world, who I bet didn't love Gerard Mayo sitting in meetings last year, according to Greg Bedard, saying, yeah, guys, no, we're good on our side of the ball. What are you guys doing over there?
Clean up the offense.
Yeah, well, he's walking around with a baseball bat in the meetings knowing he's the next guy.
Yeah.
I bet there's a lot of people he worked with over the years that aren't upset about how much of a cluster this has been. And you know Bill's enjoying the crap out of it. 617-779-7937. We'll get to more of your Patriots phone calls coming up. A lot of discussion about Mayo and Vrabel. We started off talking about the Patriots and the Bills this weekend. Do they even keep it close? I don't see a lot of pathways for the Patriots doing that.
It's unlikely.
Before the hour's out, Rich Keefe is going to give you his best movies and TV shows of 2024.
Ooh, yeah.
So stay tuned for that. I also want to get back into our NBA discussion and some of the issues facing the league and the Celtics' role within it. They're bombs away, three-point approach, which is up from a year ago. Is it going to work en route to a championship? Seems like it will early on in the year. Will it work out for them?
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Adam Silver needs to change the game. The three-point shot is boring and repetitive. Every team plays the exact same way. I've said before, I would move the three-point arc into the bench, eliminate the corner, move it back a foot, make it part of the game, not the game.
What is this? Is this Jingle Balls?
No, it's kid at Sandy Claus, Korn. It's a cover from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Got it. I knew it was Korn. Korn has another Christmas song, too.
I joked about a Korn Christmas song yesterday or the day before, and they're like, you're pretty close.
Yeah, they've been around. That wasn't the one I requested yesterday. That was a different one. But Korn, yeah. You can find some new metal Christmas. It's out there. They've been around long enough that they're going to have to do a couple Christmas songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about that? I was unfamiliar with that one. What's it called again, Nick?
Kidnap the Sandy Claus.
Kidnap the Sandy Claus.
The Sandy Claus.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get him.
Yeah, well, it's a good. Add that to your holiday list out
there. Sure, put it in the mix.
Before we heard Korn singing about kidnapping Sandy Claus, Cowherd had some ideas about the NBA. Move the three-point line into the bench.
Stick him right in the bench.
So what does that mean?
I don't know.
Like back it up to like the hash mark?
Is that what he's talking about? You're allowed to be out of bounds over there? I don't know. I mean, I get his point, and I get
his opinion that you need to make a three a part of the game, but not the game.
Yeah.
I think is a fair point. How you do it and how you execute it, I'm not saying he had the best ideas there, but that's a good way of saying it. The three-point attempt needs to be a part of the game. No one's saying completely get rid of it, but it can't be the whole game. Right now, it feels like it's the whole game.
It is, and I just feel like any of these tweaks, outside of like the one we talked about yesterday, like the three-point dunk or whatever, if a three-point line exists, this will eventually happen. Meaning, if you take away the corner three somehow, like it just like the line stops, or you move it back another foot, and you're like, well, now only like Curry and Lillard are going to be able to hit these. We'll give it a year. That's all these guys will work on.
Yeah.
They're going to do the exact same thing. And now it's going to be longer shots. But
Al Horford
still
used to take layups and dunks, and now he's lighting up threes.
Yeah. Because you remember the Kevin Garnett two? It was always like a long two, and you're like, man, just one more foot back. And he never really did it. He didn't have to.
Different league.
The league was different then. You know now if he was playing, he'd be one step back. So all these guys, you might have a year where the percentage dips a little bit, but teams are still going to be pushing for it. All the analytical guys on all the different teams are going to be like, okay, it's not in the corner anymore, but still launch threes. So short of taking it out, I think it's going to kind of morph back into always being kind of like this now.
And so you have to wonder, too, when it comes to the Celtics specifically, and we'll hear Mazzulla coming up on this, but I thought it was a good conversation yesterday. We heard Greg talking about it and continued throughout the day, and it's worth circling back to. You see the way the Celtics launch threes, and we've mentioned this before, but it's at a higher clip than any other team. They average 51.1 threes per game.
Yeah.
That's, seven more than any other team. Chicago is next up at 44. Hornets at 43, Warriors at 42, Timberwolves at 40, okay? Those are the most three-point attempts in the league. And the Celtics are head and shoulders above that. You do wonder, and I guess the retort to this would be, well, who's going to outshoot them over seven games? This isn't a one-off. This isn't the NCAA tournament where your shots go cold and you get knocked out. You need the Celtics to go cold in four out of seven games.
Yeah, it's not happening.
But just the idea that you're so reliant on, you know, a shot that the way the Celtics are hitting it goes in 37% of the time. You're still missing about two-thirds of them, even if you launch a billion. Is that the best way and the safest way to go about winning a championship? It worked a year ago.
Well, not only that, last year.
Will it work again?
The NBA Finals was Celtics-Mavericks, 1, 2, 3 attempts.
Mavs were 2 last year.
Yeah.
Mavs this year have amended their ways. They've gone the opposite way.
Are a lot lower. I don't know why that is.
Of the Celtics.
Now, an interesting case
study. They added Klay Thompson, and they've gone the other way. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is odd. But yeah, they finished last year regular season second most three attempts, and then they were kind of a surprise final run from a year ago. But it would be interesting this year. The team that takes the fewest threes in the NBA right now is the Denver Nuggets.
Hmm.
Now, they did not get back to the title game last year, but if they do this year, that would be pretty interesting.
Contrast in styles. What did you say yesterday, Keith?
Oh, styles make fights.
Styles make fights.
A great man once said that. And so, but if Denver, you know, it could be a copycat league in many ways. Everybody saw what Golden State was doing, and they're like, hey, we don't even have Curry and Thompson, but we're still going to do it this way. You do wonder, if you play this all the way out, and if the Nuggets remain at the bottom of the league, they take about 30 threes a game, so significantly fewer threes than the Celtics, and they win the title, maybe you get a little bit of change, but I feel like what you're actually going to get is, well, they get Jokic. They have the best. We don't have the best player in the world, so we have to do it this
way. That's true. They won't look at themselves and really reevaluate that their system is flawed. They'll just say, well, best player in the world beat us.
I don't think they'll reevaluate it. However, if the Celtics win again, they'll be like, that's the way to do it. You know, I think it'll just further the point home.
Well, and the league is clearly following suit. Because, again, you see, you know, teams like we talked about Anthony Edwards yesterday really increasing his three-point attempts. Teams like Chicago and Charlotte are launching away. So you see teams following suit. Joe Mazzulla was asked about this yesterday at Celtics practice. It's practice, so you hear a lot of basketballs bouncing around. But can I hear Mazzulla's answer, Nick, on the Celtics and all the three-point attempts and how it ties into ratings and the league shooting too many threes? Here's Mazzulla yesterday.
It's an interesting perspective, I think, because you don't, in the NFL, you know, people aren't like, I want to see less scoring. They're not going to make the end zone smaller. They're not going to make the field smaller. So, like, scoring up across in other sports. And I guess my question would be is why in basketball is scoring up being an issue as opposed to other sports? Does anybody want to watch a football game and see less touchdowns? You know, so I think at the end of the day, anything new or changed?
A lot of basketballs.
Well, I think some, I mean, not everybody, but some people do like defense.
Some people do, but it's a false equivalency is what I would say.
Yeah, it's true.
It's an interesting response by Mazzulla. It does feel a little sensitive, but it's a false equivalency because touchdowns, you know, all touchdowns are created equal. I guess a field goal versus a touchdown is different scoring. A safety versus a touchdown is different scoring. But all touchdowns are created like equal.
Passing, running.
Every time you get in the end zone, it's worth the same amount of points. And I don't quite look at it the way he looks at it. Now, scoring is up. Why do we have a problem with scoring being up? I guess we don't. But, you know, if scoring is up in Major League Baseball, but it's boring to watch and the ball isn't often in play and it's three outcomes and you can predict it across every single game, every game looks the same, every at bat looks the same just about, then you start to run into there's no variety in what I'm watching. There's no real difference in what I'm watching.
It's also tough to be like scoring's up in basketball, which it is, but even when it was low, it was like 90, 100 points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like hockey going from like 2-6 or soccer going from like 2-6. That's such a difference percentage-wise.
And again, what's more exciting? Somebody launching a three from 25 feet away or someone dunking? The dunk is worth two. This goes back to the Nick Wright point where it's like, okay, well, do I want scoring to be up? Well, yeah, I like scoring, but a more exciting scoring play is worth less points than that one. So that does seem out of whack.
No, I definitely think the best point around all of this is just you tune into an NBA game and they all look kind of the same. Whereas in football, there's always teams copying each other, but there are different teams. I mean, when you see Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry doing it one way, then you see Josh Allen doing it one way, you see all these different teams, like the speed of the Dolphins, like all the teams. Sure, there's certain playbooks that overlap and guys from certain trees or whatever, but you know, every Sunday or Saturday you're watching football, it can look a little bit different. Whereas the NBA, as much as I love it, it does have a lot of like that you could swap that team out with that team and that team out with that team, and it's kind of a same game.
Yeah, so the Celtics are the best at it, and they have the best talent.
Yeah, right.
But everybody kind of plays the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I guess outside of the Nuggets, it's a fair point by you. So maybe that's what we should root for. Jeff is in Needham on the NBA's three-point line. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. Great topic. The NBA regular season is unwatchable, in my opinion. And I think the playoffs are exciting enough because everything's on the line. I think Cal Herd has something there with what he's suggesting. And I do agree with the comment about these guys will just start practicing from a foot and a half back. But I think by eliminating that sideline, it's a lot less space to work within. And I think it could open up the game more inside.
Okay, so that's Jeff's solution. I've seen this solution. It could be the same person on the text and Twitch chat. Eliminate goaltending on threes.
So you can goaltend threes? Like Garnett.
Threes.
Speaking of Garnett, he's doing, guys will take shots after the whistle.
Yeah, you can sneak one in, but.
So I wonder if there's any like legitimacy to this. I wonder, because you have the G League, that's what you do. So like when baseball first put in the pitch clock, they put it in the minors, they tinkered with it, they looked at it.
They're doing it now with robot umps. That's what baseball has a good place to you know, check some of these out and play some of these out and game them out. And
I don't
know if
they checked the big bags first. That was
they might have just jammed that one through.
But
the G League would be a way to do that.
Yeah, so you can see what it looks like. See now you're not going to have, you know, the sheer number of fans, but the people who are watching it or the people that are involved in the league keep an eye on, be like, is there different strategies now, and is this affecting, or are guys just taking you know, top of the key threes more, right? Is the sheer number of threes just as high? Just there's no more corner three because, you know, it is a little bit closer and guys can hit a pretty high percentage from there.
So is it going to work for the Celtics? Mazzulla sounds a little defensive, sensitive about it. I don't think they're changing their ways. So will it work? You can jump in. And do you like it? 617-779-7937. You know what Keith likes?
Yeah.
Movies. TV shows.
And twins.
He's going to give you the top movies and TV shows from 2024. Stay tuned. That's next.
This gets a lot of spits in the Keith car on the way to school.
How many times do you guys listen to this? It's like this and Frosty?
I was just going to say.
Frosty, a lot of this.
Yeah. This or Frosty, which are you picking? I would rather listen to Frosty.
Yeah.
This is not my favorite. The kids do enjoy it quite a bit.
No, I feel bad for my parents now looking back on it because me and my sister had the cassette of like the whole thing.
Oh, there's an album.
We listen to it constantly. I feel bad now.
Yes, you should. It's not great, but it makes them happy. So you just kind of move on. But yeah, it's not my favorite. The year is almost up, Jones, and you'll see a lot of people are doing their best of 2024 lists as it relates to everything. In fact, we might do some the year in review tomorrow instead of week in review.
Great.
Some of the best of the program. But why not a top 10 movie list of the year, top 10 TV show of the list. I try to watch a lot. You can't watch everything. No. So I might miss a few along the way. There's still some stuff I got to watch before we do our big Dork Podcast Awards, which we do early in January, looking back on the year. But do you want me to go TV shows or movies first?
Let's do TV shows.
TV
first.
Shows.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number 10 on my list, Baby Reindeer. Netflix series based on a true story starring the guy that it actually happened to. I don't know if you ever watched Baby Reindeer, but it was he deals with a female stalker. And then he's like a comedian. He's also like a bartender. It's a dark comedy.
Okay.
So it is at times funny, at times really sad, and also really messed up.
Okay.
It's not one to watch with the kids, I would say.
Bit of a thinker. Okay.
Baby Reindeer. Nick, do you watch Baby Reindeer?
I heard you and Davey talking about it, but I haven't gotten to
it. It's a wild ride. Number 9 on my list, the show Evil. Evil had their most recent and perhaps final season. It's on Paramount Plus. This is the one where they go around and people think they might need exorcisms or not, and they deem whether they should. So there's like a trio of people, like one works for the church, one is like completely against that stuff, and then another is like sort of like more like a scientist type thing. And they go around and they're dealing with like demonic stuff. Some believe it, some don't.
Who needs an
exorcism?
Who doesn't? Okay.
It's kind of procedural, I guess you could say, but with demons. So I like Evil.
All right.
Number 8 on my list is The Boys. Not the strongest season of The Boys.
What year is it of that show?
That was year 5, I think.
Okay.
Or at least season 4, maybe season 5. And even a bad season of The Boys or a down season of The Boys would put it up as a top 10 show. Homelander is maybe one of the great characters of the last 10 years in television, in all seriousness. And so I love that show. And I think they got one more final season coming out next year. Similar to that, number 7 on my list is The Bear. Not the best season of The Bear, but still, comparing it to all the other shows that were out, very, very good. They have another season coming out next year. I think they filmed them back to back.
And so they'll be done as well.
I think they're going to be done
as well.
Some of the best stuff. It always gets thrown in the comedy category. It's not really a comedy at all.
Not even a dark comedy.
No, I mean, there's funny moments in it. There are like a few funny characters, but it's more kind of like intense. Like, I don't think Uncut Gems is a comedy, but Sandler's in it, so maybe some people would say that it is. All right, number 6 on my list is the show From, which only me and Nick and Wiggy have seen.
The three of you talk about it nonstop.
All the time.
Although I have started seeing it pop up on Instagram.
Oh.
People watch reacting to the first scene of season 1.
So I saw.
So it might pick up.
So I saw if you have Xfinity, they do every week there's like a free streaming service. It's usually some garbage streaming service that they give you like a week free for. And this week it's MGM Plus.
Get in there.
Which is where this show
is on. Get in there.
So you have 30 hours to spare. Give it a rip. Watch From.
Okay.
Number 5 on the list came out early this year on Peacock. The comedy Ted.
Oh.
Out of nowhere how good this show was.
I asked you about this, and Nick has made many references to this as well. I asked you about this when it came out, and you're like, it's awesome.
It's so good. It's way better than it should be. So the Mark Wahlberg, Seth MacFarlane Ted movie, they had Ted and Ted 2. this is like a prequel. So they cast a new actor as like a young Mark Wahlberg. And then like Ted's Ted. And it's so funny. Like, it's probably the funniest show of the year.
Wow.
Number four on my list is Shogun. Shogun was on FX earlier this year. It's sort of, some call it like Game of Thrones meets Succession, because it has like a lot to do. There's not as many battle scenes as you would think. It's, so that's why maybe it's not like Game of Thrones as much. But like old, and then there's like historical truths to this as well.
And it's
like
a remake, right?
Old school Japan. Yeah, it was a book.
Okay.
And then it was a show, and it's excellent. And they may or may not get a season two. I kind of wish they would just leave it at this, but that's number four on my list. Number three, a show that just wrapped up also on Peacock, The Day of the Jackal. Speaking of remakes, this was a movie, this was a show, this was a book as well. Eddie Redmayne stars as an assassin, a little cat and mouse, trying to get after him a little bit. He's trying to kill people. People are trying to get him.
I told you a week ago at the Jones family Christmas party, my Uncle Pete raving.
Uncle
and I mean
Pete
raving
is,
about this
he
show.
He is spot
got
on.
10 hours? Watch yeah. it.
If you got 10 hours to spare, and you might, check out The Day of the Jackal. Number two on my list is Fallout. Fallout was adapted from a video game.
The video game, yeah.
Yeah, Amazon Prime series, sort of like apocalypse stuff. Walton Goggins is in the show. Excellent. Excellent. And Ella Purnell, who was in Yellow Jackets, the series, she's the star of this, and she kicks ass. So that's number two on my list. And then number one, I'm going with The Penguin.
Yes.
The Penguin was awesome on HBO Max. Spinoff from The Batman, takes place directly after the Batman movie, the most recent one, the Robert Pattinson one, and excellent.
Okay, so 10 to 1. Baby Reindeer, Evil, The Boys, The Bear, From, Ted, Shogun, Day of the Jackal, Fallout, and The Penguin. 10 to 1, top 10 TV shows of the year, according to Keith.
Pretty good.
Top 10
good
movies.
Year for TV.
Yeah, really good year. Squid Game Season 2 comes out the day after Christmas. I loved Season 1, so we'll see. Maybe that'll join the list. There's a couple other movies, shows like Sweet Pea and Bad Monkey I didn't see yet, but I'm going to watch those. All right, 10 to 1 on movies. It is a little heavy horror, but I thought it was a great year for horror. Number 10, you might not believe this, Twisters.
Wow.
Twisters. Starring that Glenn Powell.
They're
back. That handsome Glenn Powell.
They're back with something to say.
It might
Twisters,
be the
yeah.
best. It might be the best tornado movie ever made.
Better than Twister.
Better than The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Wizard
Better,
of Oz.
All right, so top three tornado movie
okay, good.
Ever made.
Good to know.
Number nine, Abigail.
Uh-huh.
Abigail. I know we had a viewer that was, or a listener that was mad that I spoiled Abigail, even though in the trailer, they kidnap a girl thinking they're holding her ransom.
Oh, yeah. Someone was pissed about that.
She's a vampire. She's a vampire.
It's the trailer it's and the trailer. Description right. and everything about it.
Number eight, The Substance. Demi Moore, Margaret Qualley, and it's what they refer to as body horror.
Ah.
Excellent. They might get Oscar noms for this.
It's not a Jim Irsay documentary. It's something different. Guy.
No, it's not. Okay. This is really, yeah. really good. Fall Guy. Very fun movie. Ryan Gosling plays a stunt guy.
Oh, yeah.
Emily Blunt is in it. Great movie. Fall Guy number seven. Number six, Love Lies Bleeding. This was a woman bodybuilder movie with Kristen Stewart.
Really?
Dude, it's good.
She's a bodybuilder?
She is not.
Okay.
She works at a gym. That? Her girlfriend's a bodybuilder.
Got it.
And it is awesome. Nobody talks about this movie.
Love Lies good. Bleeding.
It's very good.
Okay.
Number five, Strange Darling. Strange Darling. Cool part about this movie, serial killer. Also, they chop it up like a Tarantino movie, so they tell it different chapters, but they do it out of order.
Okay.
Real fun. Also, not one to watch probably with the kids or the family.
Okay. That's an adult
Strange
movie.
Darling.
Yeah.
Number four on my list is an Irish horror movie called Oddity. Real good scares in this. Some awesome ideas. Kind of a ghost story-ish.
Oddity.
Got it.
Yes.
Speaking of horror movies, number three on my list, Late Night with the Devil.
Okay.
This is streaming somewhere now, I believe.
Probably still Netflix.
Probably
Hulu. Hulu.
Yeah, one of those.
It's out there.
You'll find
Just
it.
Search it.
You'll find it.
Yeah.
Takes place in like the 70s, and they're doing like a late night talk show, and then all of a sudden, maybe there's some demons involved. Mm. Very good. Number two, Dune Part Two.
Nice.
Dune Part Two, which was great. I mean, I liked the first one. Second one was even better. And then TBD on the third one. And then my number one movie, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
It had a ton of hype, lived up to it for me. It was going to be tough to sort of like you know, get these characters together, tied in with all the MCU stuff, because there's been a lot of misses over the last few years. How are they going to do it? I thought they did an unbelievable job. Wildly entertaining.
And that Dogpool, so cute.
Dogpool.
Plays fresh.
They kind of leaned on Dogpool too much.
Too much?
They showed him like
too much Dogpool?
There's a lot of Dogpool.
Every time you're like, all right, we're done with this, like there'd be like a slow motion scene, like here comes Dogpool again. You're like, all right, we got that.
We got
like,
it.
Like, let's move on to the next thing.
Next thing.
That's the next
all right.
thing.
10 to 1, top 10 movies of the year from Keith, starting at 10. Twisters. It's a top 3 tornado movie of all time.
No doubt.
Abigail, text line says that was not in the trailer, Keith.
Yeah,
great movie,
watch,
though.
Watch the trailer again. She's got, like, fangs. She's, like, biting guys. Like, what do you think that is?
The first line of the description is, people kidnap a little girl who turns into a vampire.
Okay, well,
the first line of the description.
Yeah. Number 8 is The Substance. 7, Fall Guy. Love, Lies, Bleeding.
Check that one out.
Strange Dealing?
Darling.
Darling. I couldn't read my own handwriting. Okay. Sorry. Number 4 is Oddity. 3 is Late Night with the Devil. 2 is Dune. And number 1, Deadpool and Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Top 10 TV shows. Top 10 movies of 2024.
Get in there.
According to Rich Keefe. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Any TV suggestions, we'll take those as well. Plus, not only was Alex Van Pelt speaking earlier today, which we'll get to, and I want to dissect more of what he said, DeMarcus Covington, who I believe is scheduled to appear on this program tomorrow, had a couple of doozies as well. Let's get to those next.